Hello and welcome to the Torah Simcha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orlean. Before we begin our study of Shmuel Beis, I tacked on this short message to the pre-recorded installment of Perek Aleph, which was done quite a few weeks ago, because I feel that we really cannot begin our study before acknowledging the unique time in which we find ourselves, where every single person has been impacted in some way by the coronavirus. People are isolated in their homes, children are not going to school, there are no minyanim, there's no travel. This is unprecedented in our lifetime. It is quite unsettling, to say the least, very frightening for many. But on the other hand, there is something very comforting, because the fact that nobody understands it, it is such a departure from anything that anyone has ever experienced. It's comforting in a way, because God's involvement is so obvious. The Yad Hashem is so apparent. We are a technologically advanced and sophisticated society, and yet the world has come to a halt. It has come to a standstill. It's as if God has pressed the pause button on the movie of our lives. And it is my fervent wish and bracha to all of you that in the zechus of the tefilos and the increase in the recitation of the Tehillos Shel David of Tehillim, and in the zechus of all of the increased mitzvah observance, in the zechus of our newfound appreciation of our places of chinuch, of our schools, in the zechus of our newfound appreciation and reverence and longing for our places of tefillah, our shuls, and in the zechus of all the Torah learning that is being done all over the world, even when yeshivas are closed down, and certainly in the zechus of this Torah Simcha Nachyomi program, where people are learning Torah Moshe Mi-Sinai, Sinai where we heard and we saw the Kol HaShofar. We should all be zocha to see a refuah bekarov to this magefa, and we should be zocha to hear that shofar gadol with the coming of Mashiach. And we all hope that the events these past weeks are a preamble of better things to come with the coming of Mashiach. We owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to Rebbetzin Dr. Adina Schmidman for spearheading this incredible Torah Simcha Nachyomi program, because now, more than ever, this is so important. And now we return to our regularly scheduled program. Today we will be studying Shmuel Beis, Perek Aleph. Perek Aleph takes us to the aftermath of Shaul's army being defeated by the Plishtim and of Shaul being killed in that battle. David, meanwhile, had been in the city of Tziklag after having just defeated Amalek. A man who had been involved in the battle with the Plishtim had information about Shaul and seeks David out. His clothing was torn and he had ashes on his head as a sign of mourning. David asks him what he wants. And the man answers him and tells him that he has news that Shaul and his son Yehonasan have fallen in battle. David, wanting to verify this information, asks him how he knows this, to which the man responds that he saw Shaul firsthand on the battlefield. And the man recounts the story. The man says that Shaul saw me and he called to me and he asked who I was. And I told him that I was an Amaleki. And we will see later on that he actually identifies himself as a ger from Amalek. He continues the story. Pasuk tes, Vayomer Elayin, he said to me, Amadna alai umosiseni keachazani hashavats. Stand by me, Shaul tells this Amaleki, and kill me, because the trauma of my wounds have taken me over, meaning that I am near death. Ki chol od nafshi bi, I barely have any life left in me. The Amaleki continued his story, and he said that I killed Shaul because I knew that he would not survive his wounds. After which I took the crown from his head and the bracelet from his arm, and I brought them here to you, David, today. Now, in listening to this account, it is different from the account of Shaul's death that is told at the end of Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph. Because in that account, we are told that Shaul was on the battlefield with the Plishtim and he had been mortally wounded by a Plishti archer. And in order to avoid being defiled by the enemy, he had asked his arms bearer to kill him. The arms bearer refused to do so, so Shaul falls on his own sword and brings his own death in order to avoid being defiled by the enemy, by the Plishtim, after which point his attendant kills himself as well. So here we have a slightly different version of the story, because in the first version, we do not have any evidence that there was an Amaleki, and yet this Amaleki is telling us that he was involved in hastening the death of Shaul. So how do we account for the differences? So there's a number of ways that we can understand this. One way of understanding this
is that the account of the Amaleki is filling in the blanks left out in the account that is told at the end of Shmuel Aleph, meaning that Shaul was near death and the Amaleki happened upon him and he brought about his demise. Another possibility, according to the Radak and others, is that actually this Amaleki was lying and he fabricated the story in order to curry favor in the eyes of David. Remember that Shaul and David were officially rivals. Shaul had been pursuing David. So anybody bringing news of Shaul's death, and certainly being the one who actually killed Shaul, David's rival, would most certainly earn him respect and admiration from David. But as we know, this did not occur. This was not the reaction that David had at all. Because David, upon hearing the news of the fall of Shaul, the very one that had been pursuing him for so long, Shaul, the one from whom he had escaped death on so many occasions, reacts with tremendous sadness and pain at the news of the death of Shaul. As we know that despite his being pursued by Shaul, David had this tremendous love for Shaul, his father-in-law, this tremendous respect for Shaul, the king, and he had a tremendous love for his son, Yehonasan. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayachazek David Bivgadav, Vayikraim, Vegam Kol Ha'anashim Asher Ito. He and all of his men with him took their clothing and they ripped their clothing in mourning. Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayispadu, Vayibchu, Vayatsumu Ad Ha'arev, Al Shaul, Va'al Yehonasan Beno, Va'al Am Hashem, Va'al Beis Yisrael, Ki Naflu B'Cherev. They eulogized, they cried, and they fasted until evening on Shaul and Yehonasan, his son. They mourned not only the loss of Shaul and Yehonasan, but they mourned all of the casualties of Bnei Yisrael that died in that battle with the Plishtim. At this point, David addresses this Amaleki again. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomer David el ha-na'ar ha-magidlo, Eimi ze'ata, Vayomer ben ishger Amaleki anochi. David is very suspicious of this man's story. He's suspicious of his identity, and therefore he says, who are you? Where are you from? To which he responds, I'm an Amaleki, I'm a ger from the nation of Amalek. It seems that David was very suspicious of his overall identity. To which he responded, Pasuk Yudalid, Vayomer elav David, and David said to him, Eich lo yaresa l'shloach yadcha l'shaches es Mashiach Hashem. How could you not have been afraid to strike and destroy and kill the Mashiach Hashem, the one that was anointed by Hashem, the first king of Israel? You have shed blood of the first king of Israel. How could you not have been afraid to do so? Recall that David had many opportunities to kill Shaul himself, but at every juncture, David would not lay a hand on Shaul and he would not allow his people to lay a hand on him. As an example, Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf Vav, Pasuk Yud Aleph, he says, Chalila li me Hashem, Mishloach Yadi b'Mashiach Hashem, far be it from me to lay a hand on the Mashiach Hashem, on the one that was anointed by Hashem. He therefore orders that this Amaleki be put to death. He then says, Pasuk Tezayin, Vayomer elav David, and David said either to him or about him, Damecha al roshecha, your blood is on your hands. Ki picha ana b'cha lemar, anochi mosati es Mashiach Hashem. Your mouth testified against you. It was your own words that is now putting you to death because you have testified that you have killed the Mashiach Hashem. Either you're telling the truth, in which case you are guilty because you killed Shaul, or you are fabricating the story in order to manipulate me and curry favor in my eyes. You've accomplished the exact opposite. This is the last thing that I wanted. You are guilty for this as well. David puts this Amaleki to death as a warning to others that killing anybody from the house of Shaul will absolutely not be tolerated. So the second part of the perek is the emotional and heartfelt kina, the dirge, the eulogy that David said for Shaul and Yehonasan. The kina is so full of pathos as David mourns their loss, and the tragedy is only intensified when keeping in mind the complex relationship that David and Shaul had. David had this admiration for Shaul even while fleeing from his clutches. Recall back in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf Dalet, when David is in En Gedi, he is hiding from Shaul. Shaul is in a cave, and David makes his way towards Shaul, getting close enough so that he can cut the corner of his cloak. And he calls out to him, and he says the following, Pasuk Yud Aleph in that parak, in parak Chav Dalet, va'avi re'ei gam re'ei es kanaf me'ilcha biyadi ki bekarsi es kanaf me'ilcha lo harakticha da'a re'ei ki ein biyadi ra'a v'fesha. He says, my father, look, he is invoking the word father, focusing on this emotional and familial connection that he has. Look, I had the ability to cut off your cloak and I didn't. I harbor no ill will towards you. And Shaul, who had been plagued by this ruach ra for so long after having not killed out Amalek, seems to have this moment of lucidity, and he seems to notice David for the first time in a very long time. Pasuk Tesvav of that perek, he says, Hakol chazeh b'ni David, is that the voice of my son David? Vayisa Shaul kolo vayech, and Shaul raised his voice and he cried. So now David is saying this kina for Shaul, with whom he had this deep, albeit complex, relationship. The Kina describes the greatness of Shaul and Yehonasan as warriors, their ability to ward off the enemies of Bnei Israel, and he talks about the admiration of the people for Shaul and Yehonasan. Three times within this Kina, we hear the refrain, Eich naflu giborim. Eich, from like the word Eicha, how is it possible that these giborim fell, these giborim in the physical sense as well as in the spiritual sense have fallen today? The Kina also talks about the love between father and son. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Shaul v'Yehonasan, ha-nehavim v'hane'imim b'chayehem uv'mosam lo nifradu. Shaul and Yehonasan, they were beloved and cherished in their lives, and in their death they did not part. Minasharim kalu me'arayos gaveru. They were faster than eagles, and they were mightier than lions. David then ends with his personal feelings of love and admiration for the two of them, for Shaul and Yehonasan, the sadness and the wonder at the loss of these two great people. And then he speaks about his personal admiration and love for Yehonasan. Pasuk Chaf Vav, Tsar li alecha achi Yehonasan, na'amta li ma'od. I am so pained about you, my brother Yehonasan, you were so pleasant to me. Nifla asa ahavas chali me ahavas nashim. Your love was more wonderful to me than the love of women. David is brokenhearted at the loss of his dear friend Yehonasan. The love between David and Yehonasan is described in Pirkei Avos as a model for an ahava she'eino teluya badavar. It's a pure love without any strings attached. David's words are incredibly beautiful, and we clearly cannot do justice to this kina in this type of forum, but the listener is advised to read the words of this kina on their own. Now, in summation, what's noteworthy about this perek is that an Amaleki is featured very prominently and is associated with Shaul's death, which really closes a circle. We know that Shaul lost his melucha because of his not fulfilling the command of completely eradicating the Amalekim, keeping Agag alive. And then in this perek, in the beginning of the perek, we have Amalek who is defeated by Shaul's successor, David. Furthermore, if the account of the Amaleki actually took place, but even if it didn't take place, it seems that the last person with whom Shaul speaks is an Amaleki, either in the Amaleki's version of the story or in the actual version of the story. And with this, the circle is closed. Shaul lost the Melucha because of an Amaleki, and now with Shaul's death, we have an Amaleki that is featured very prominently. Furthermore, according to Rashi, when Shaul asks the Amaleki to kill him, he says, Ki achazani hashavetz, which means the sickness of death has overtaken me. But Rashi, alluding to the Medrash, explains that Shaul was referring, perhaps, to the kasonis tashbetz that a Kohen wears, with tashbetz and shavetz sharing the same three letters. He is referring to his act of killing Nov Ir HaKohanim. Achazani hashavetz, the kasonis tashbetz, has grabbed hold of me. And perhaps what Shaul is saying is that the time has come for me to be punished for the sin of killing Nov Ir HaKohanim, who wore the Kasonis Tashbetz. With Shaul's death comes his admission of his past missteps, and with this chapter, the reign of the first king of Yisrael comes to an end. And on a final note, as a conclusion to this perek,
But on the other hand, perhaps as an introduction to the rest of the Sefer, in which we will see David HaMelech's Melucha take shape, we will see how David deals with the ups and downs of his life that included tremendous Yisurin and Nisyonos. And when we learn about these events, it's important to keep in mind the greatness of David and that God chose him to be not just the king over Israel, but to be the progenitor of Mashiach. David HaMelech was a gibor in war, and he was a gibor as one who is kovesh es Yitzro. First, as we have said, the love between David and Yehonasan, as he says, Nifla asa ahavas chali me'ahavas nashim. It was a pure and unadulterated love, even though that love was counterintuitive. In reality, they should have been rivals because each one threatened the other's position. But the love of each other was based on a common bond of devotion to God. Because real love is when I look at the other and know that he's not taking anything away from me. I have what I am supposed to have, and he has what he is supposed to have, because God willed it that way. In this way, there is no jealousy, because both are capable of seeing that they are not a threat to each other. David's greatness is that he recognized Yehonasan's greatness and the Emos, even though he should have felt threatened by him. And Yehonasan's love for David is further testimony to David's humility and purity of soul that Yehonasan perceived. Furthermore, the uncanny ability of David to not just find forgiveness for his being pursued by Shaul, but to actually maintain such a high regard for Shaul, as we see numerous times in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, and as we see from this Kina in Perek Aleph, is really what defines him as the ancestor of Mashiach. Rabbi Shapsi Weiss, in his Sefer Mishpatos Zahav, relates a beautiful thought. And he explains the following. He says it is really difficult to understand how in this Kina, David could lump together as equals Shaul and Yehonasan. After all, Yehonasan was David's most beloved friend, while to all appearances, Shaul was David's mortal enemy. Yet nevertheless, David appears to put them on equal footing. The answer is that David in this Kina not only speaks from his own perspective, but he is speaking on behalf of the entire nation. In Hilchos Melachim, the Rambam describes the relationship between the king and the people as the king being the heart of the nation, Shelibo hu lev kol kahal Yisrael. So in speaking for the klal, David suppresses all of his own personal feelings, and he is able to mourn the loss of Shaul and Yehonasan equally, and how it was felt by the nation as a whole. His ability to represent the nation without his own ego is the mark of a true king of Klal Yisrael, and it is a mark of the progenitor of Mashiach. This is the same characteristic of Mashiach, who will have this level of shlemus that allows him to unite what otherwise would be natural enemies. As the Pasuk in Yeshaya tells us in Perek Yud Aleph, in the time of Mashiach, v'gar ze'ev im keves, a wolf will live peacefully with a sheep. Natural enemies will unite. This is David HaMelech, who, as we will continue to see, infuses everything he does with the lens of what does God want from me, and how do my thought processes, my attitudes, and my actions impact the welfare of the Jewish people that I am leading. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.